The fourth case scheduled for today, number 052216, Shendeya against Gonzalez, will be taken on the briefs. It will not be heard by oral argument today. Therefore, the court will go to the fifth case of the day, which is number 052435, the United States against Juarez.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wells.
This is an appeal of three pretrial decisions made by the district court, an appeal of the sentencing of the district court. Mr. Juarez was arrested and charged with being in the possession of a gun as a felon. We went to trial before a jury, and he was found guilty. Prior to the trial, we filed a motion to suppress the gun, and we also filed a motion arguing that interstate commerce was not the proper jurisdiction. At sentencing, we made a 3553A argument, and although Mr. Juarez was subject to a 15-year mandatory minimum because of his prior violent criminal history, the judge sentenced him to 20 years. We want to spend our time focusing on the motion to suppress. But, of course, if there are questions on the other two issues, we'd be more than happy to answer those. I'm accompanied by Angela Locke, who did the trial with me. The issue here is we file a motion to suppress. As the law requires, we attached an affidavit. In that affidavit, Mr. Juarez stated that he's walking down the street, and as he approached, and this is about 4:30 in the morning, he's in the neighborhood that he lives in. As he approaches a police car, police get out of the car, grab him, and put him in the car.
Mr. Willis, forgive me for interrupting, but
yes, Judge.
The government states that the affidavit in support of the motion to suppress was unsigned.
We signed it later. There was a amended affidavit that was signed, and an additional sentence was added. I have a copy of that.
Thank you.
Now, the affidavit is what establishes the ability to go forward in the motion to suppress. That affidavit created issues that should have been heard at a hearing, and that's our argument, and that's what the court says in U.S. versus Woods. That yes, Your Honor.
Can we go through the affidavit? Because if we consider the affidavit, what I'm trying to figure out is what about his affidavit contradicts the police account of his arrest. It seems to me that both Juarez and the police officers say that at 3:30 a.m. he was standing on the street where a gun had been fired a few minutes earlier, and that police approached and arrested him. The police account includes a few details that happened in the middle. For example, when he saw the officers, he ran and then dropped a gun. But he never denied any of that at the motion to suppress stage of the proceedings.
But his affidavit does, Judge. I have it here. He says on July 12th, I'm walking down Wood Street after visiting a friend. He approaches 45th Street. He observes a police car. When I got close to the car, the police jumped out and put me in the back seat of the car. Within minutes, other police arrived. That's totally different from what the police say in their response. They say there's a shot fired. They have a report. He obviously doesn't say anything about that because he didn't know anything about that. There's a shot fired. They're in the vicinity, and they see a tree, and somebody appears to be hiding behind a tree. And as the police approach the tree, in their response, They said Mr. Juarez starts to run, and they gave chase. That's not in Mr. Hood. That's a totally different fact. Mr. Juarez said they jump out of the car and just grab him and put him in the car. And that's why this should have been ironed out at a hearing so I could cross-examine the officer and they could cross-examine Mr. Juarez. So these are two entirely different statements. It's not like Mr. Juarez is saying, I was hiding behind a tree or the police came towards me kind of in a Terry style way. That's not what he says. And he says it further, which is not critical facts, but he said, I never had a gun. And he signs that. That is enough, according to Woods and other cases in this circuit as well as Supreme Court cases. That's enough to create disputed facts because those facts are entirely different. They don't overlap. It's not like the government responded and they responded to facts that encompass and that my client's facts were like a subset. It's not like that at all. And that's why the trial court judge should have given a hearing. And at the hearing, we would have had an opportunity to expand on the facts of cross-examination, which is what's required in the Fourth Amendment, I believe. And of course, we went to trial without the motion being suppressed. The gun came in. My client's found guilty. I'm more than happy. That's all I want to say on the Fourth Amendment, but I'm more than happy to answer.
Was there any evidence that it was your client's weapon that was discharged that evening? Please.
No, there wasn't. At the trial, and, you know, we're jumping ahead now because the gun has not been suppressed, but at the trial, there was a gun. It was never there. They did fingerprints, as I recall. His fingerprints wasn't on the gun. There was no real evidence, except the police said that he's chasing my client, and my client throws a gun, and he heard the gun drop on the
paper. His fingerprints were not on it?
No fingerprints on it, no.
And there was no evidence that that gun had been recently fired?
No, no evidence. There was no testing to show that the gun had been recently fired.
There was evidence that a weapon had been fired in the area. That's what
there was evidence.
That's what precipitated the call.
That's undisputed, that there was a call made, that there was a gun fired. And unlike other cases, this was not a high-crime area. You know, which is one of the factors that the police officer certainly would have to take into account. My client, in his affidavit, suggested this is not a high crime area. This is his neighborhood. So there was no surrounding circumstance that would suggest that they had, you know, in their mind that this is a high crime area. So therefore, my guy probably had committed a crime.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Rose.
You very much, Judge.
We'll hear now from Mr. Funk.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Marcus Funk on behalf of the United States. I would just briefly get into two of the issues that...
Could I just ask you this? If he states in his affidavit that he was simply standing on the street and officers tackle him and arrest him without any further movement on his part, is the government arguing that no evidentiary hearing would have been required? Is that your argument?
It is not, Your Honor. We, in fact, pointed out to the defendant, both in our response, which was filed, I believe, in February of 2004, as well as during the hearing on this case, that if what the defendant is claiming is that he was simply standing there, minding his own business, and he was tackled and taken into custody, clearly there is a need for a suppression hearing. The defendant, however, did not make that claim. And that has been, this is not an issue that came up for the first time in this appeal. In fact, the defendant had almost close to a year prior to our filing our response and the hearing being held in this case, in which we pointed out to the defendant that the problem with his affidavit is he says that he was walking down the street at 3:30 in the morning, that he approached the intersection. We agree with that fully. That he observed a police car. We agree with that fully. Officer Rowe testified, in fact, that he saw the defendant observe them. And then he says that the officers jumped out. We agree with that, too. And that they grabbed him and they put him in the back of the car. We agree with that as well. What the defendant leaves out, is that when he was walking down the street and observed the police, he then ducked behind a tree. The officers jumped out of the car. Officer Rowe gave chase. Officer Lance behind him. and the defendant ran, was dropped a gun on the ground.
Well,
and
but
was tackled.
Wait a minute. That's your version. That's the
it
police
is,
version. That's not his version. That, why no hearing here? There are two different versions.
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, no, we disagree that there are two different versions. There may well be two different versions in the defendant's mind about what happened. But
no,
when
no,
you look at the affidavit.
The affidavit.
The affidavit simply says when I got closer to the car, true, the officers jumped out, grabbed me, and put me in the back of the police. All of those factual statements are true. And again, Your Honor, it is the defendant's burden to establish through.
Hold on. You mean you wanted him to say that they're lying in his original affidavit? He says what happens. He said, I was not running, you want him to say?
Your Honor, he could say I'm not.
He
I was
said
not.
I was walking. Does he have to say I was walking, not running, in order to meet your standard?
No, Your Honor, because we agree that he was walking.
I know. But the suspicion is aroused by his running and dropping the gun, I take it.
Exactly. And his ducking.
If he was just walking, there's no suspicion.
There would be enough for a Terry stop, arguably, Your Honor, given that it's 3 in the morning. Shots called.
Enough for a Terry stop.
And there was four minute gap between the
are
shots.
But you're not claiming a Terry stop.
We're claiming that they had reason for Terry stop, and then once he ran and they chased him, that he dropped a gun.
But he
then,
says he didn't run.
He doesn't say that, Your Honor.
Listen, if I say I'm walking, that means I'm not running. I can't be doing two things at the same time. I'm either walking or running. He says I'm walking. They say he's running. He says he's walking. Is that a question of fact?
Your Honor, it's a
government. Well, hold on. Is that true, what I said so far?
I agree that there's a question of fact if he says he did nothing but walk.
That's
absolutely.
Right. Goody. Okay, now we're starting along. Now, why isn't that fact, since you're relying on his running to leap out and seize him, wasn't that sufficient for some discussion of whether there was a right to seize him? Or are you saying that totally regardless, walking, running, standing his hands, just the fact that he's there at 3 o'clock in the morning is sufficient for them to go out and run a Terry stop on him?
Your Honor, it was sufficient for a Terry stop. Again,
well, then you ought to quit there. If that's good for a Terry stop, then you could stop there. He doesn't have anything to refute. He can say, I was just standing in a corner and somebody came up and frisked me and found a gun.
And in the defense brief, of course, he goes further. And
I understand.
And that's one of the reasons we're bringing these other issues up. And again, I understand that we of course understand that this is not, there's a semantic element to this because you say, I was walking, I was grabbed.
Well, that's not semantic. Walking and running are two different things.
They are two different things. And if he alleged that he was not doing anything but walking, we agree. Again,
but that's all he did say.
He says he was walking, and we agree. The
but hold on, that's all he says. He doesn't say that he was running. He was not driving a gun. He doesn't say it. He says, I was walking, and they came out and seized me.
He says, I was walking, and they came out and seized me. We agree,
right.
Your Honor.
That's all he says. Does he say anything more?
He does not say anything more.
Okay.
That is, from our perspective, his problem, because he has the burden of establishing discrete facts. He had all the discovery. These issues were all discussed. At no point did he wish to amplify or add to the affidavit. The affidavit was essentially an attempt to avoid obstruction.
Why does he have to add anything to the affidavit when he says, I was walking and stops? He says, I was walking and they seized me. That's all he has to say, isn't it?
When the allegation is that he was walking, he then ran, hid behind a tree, dropped a gun, and he was seized, then...
When he's filing the affidavit, all he has to say is, I was walking and they seized me. He doesn't have to deny or refute anything. There's nothing to refute.
Your Honor, I guess I understand the court's concern, but if you look...
It's not a concern, it's a discussion on what... To say that he is required to say something more than to negate the fact that he was running is silly.
There was enough there for a Terry stop.
Okay.
Even if he wasn't
but
running.
Was that the argument in the district court, that this was a Terry stop? I mean, why was there no evidentiary hearing here when you've got these two competing views of what happened?
I believe that there was no hearing in the district court to address this because... It is a defendant's burden. Let's just assume from the point of argument that there is an ambiguity here. It's unclear what was being said. The district pointed out it's the defendant's burden to establish facts that call for hearing, material facts, and the defendant and discrete facts and unambiguous
facts. Did the defendant
testify
at the trial?
He did not testify at the trial. The officers testified at the trial. The officers testified in 2003 at the hearing after his state arrest. The defendant knew at all times what the government's claim was in this case. And again, if you look at, and he even refers to the undisputed facts in the affidavit. We agree they're undisputed. That's the crux of our point. And again, the district court made very clear that it is defendant's burden. And if you look at the way he even sets up the affidavit, the part about the officers coming out is in a separate paragraph. Again, it is from the government's perspective, there are no facts in this affidavit that we dispute. What the defendant left out are all the other
facts. There are. The fact is that you dispute the fact that he was just walking.
We dispute the fact that he was just walking.
Okay. Then
not
you're
that
disputing
he
a fact in the affidavit. The affidavit said he was walking. Doesn't say any more, so there's not.
But we agree with that. He was walking, and then he started running, and he'd left that out. He never disagreed.
Run around a mulberry
bush. Well, you say that. Here we go again.
Yeah.
You say he was running.
He doesn't have to say I was not running when he says I'm walking. That is saying I'm not running. I'm not green, I'm purple. Now, it doesn't mean I have to say I'm not purple, I'm green if I say I'm green.
So why was there no evidentiary hearing?
There was no evidentiary hearing because the district court agreed with the government's position.
Because it was sufficient for a Terry stop, and that's what you should have said in the first place.
And the district court, in fact, made that point also in his findings when he discusses the issue during the sentencing hearing. I see my time is virtually up. With regard to the issue of the Commerce Clause, that's been litigated in this court and every other court.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother wasting time with that one if I were you either.
The same with the sentence, Your Honors. The government would respectfully request that you affirm both the sentence and the judge's rulings on the issue of the Commerce Clause as well as on the motion to quash.
Thank you, counsel. How much time does Mr. Wallace? You have two and a half minutes.
Judge, I think part of the answers to why there was no hearing is this motion was filed almost a year before the trial.
Let me interrupt a moment. Is it your position that there wasn't sufficient for a Terry stop?
I think under the circumstances there was enough evidence for a Terry stop because the shot had been fired, although this was not a high crime area, but at that time of the morning, I think there's enough evidence for a Terry stop. But I think still, even with that, we were entitled to a hearing. And maybe we didn't get a hearing because this motion had not been ruled on. And as we approached trial, I raised the issue to the judge that we had not had a hearing. And he decided that no hearing was necessary.
And did he state the reason no hearing is necessary is we have enough here for a Terry stop?
No, he didn't state that exactly. I think he stated that that the affidavit was insufficient and that the government had basically answered or responded to the affidavit adequately. And I basically disagree with that. That's why we're here today. Thank you very much for allowing us to present our arguments.
Thank you, counsel. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel.